Right, Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. It is Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the interwebs. How are you doing, Mr. Dean?
I am good, Nima Vedati. I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. In Wyoming.
Got it.
And we want to add some more places in the occupied states in America that are playing the Fiends today. We are welcoming two new stations, which is really cool. Two in one day. We are welcoming WRIK 750 AM in Paducah, Kentucky, Brookport, Illinois.
Yeah.
And we are also welcoming WKRO in Cairo, Illinois. It's spelled C-A-I-R-O, but it's not pronounced Cairo. It's pronounced, I believe, Cairo. And I would say if that's incorrect, you can call in and let me know. But the phones are down today. So if you want to talk to us, you can go on the Freedom Fiends chat page. Now, where can people find that, Nima Vedati?
You just go to freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, you know, like we're supposed to have in Merca.
Ah!
And then fiends, like how a little kid or a rapper would say fiend. That's F-E-E-N-S. Freedomfiends.com. Look to the right and you'll see an icon of a pink button with little coffee mugs. And you click on that. That takes you to Fiends Chat. Just make yourself whatever. You don't need any kind of chat client. It's right in your browser window. And tell us that we're wrong to call you Cairo and that your name is actually Cairo, or however it really is supposed to
say. No, we didn't call it Cairo. We called it Cairo.
Oh, but we called it Cairo.
Someone else said, but there's a town in Kentucky that's pronounced that Ben Stone says, and if he's wrong, you can tell him, not us, that he says is pronounced Cairo, that's spelled the same way. So correct us. Correct us if we're wrong. I will say that Kentucky is one of the five states that my wife and I chose on our short list about 6 years ago on our short list of locations for the Dean Foundation headquarters, or Nestlandia, the nation of two that my wife and I have, that exists.
Why
within,
were they on the list?
It's within the U.S. We have not seceded. It's it's our own little country of two, nation of two, and our army of cats, our military of cats.
Why Kentucky? What was a draw for you? I mean, you didn't go, obviously, but what intrigued you about them?
We went through all 50 states. We were wanting to get the heck out of California, as smart people do. And you know what I say about California is California would be the best place in America to live if it weren't for all the Californians, because it's got everything. I mean, it's got mountains, it's got sea, it's got rainforests, it's got desert, it's got valleys, it's got a lot of beautiful trees. The weather's pretty good. There's, you know, green things growing year round. But there's all these people there that seem to want to have stuff given to them. There's a lot of people that work there too, and I salute the workers there. But Kentucky was one on our short list because we looked at states that had decent gun laws, decent from the sense of gun owners, not from the sense of gun grabbers. They have decent gun laws, lower cost of living than California, lower taxes, and you know, just generally okay weather and decent place to live. And our short list was Wyoming, Kentucky, West Virginia, Washington State, and I'd have to look up the other one, but we picked Wyoming. We ended up in Wyoming.
Huh. Washington State, huh?
Yeah, Vermont.
I lived there for a couple of years.
Vermont was one of them.
Vermont. Okay. Yeah, I found Washington State too statist for my tastes. And I lived on the east side, the side that's supposed to be for all the independent, freedom-loving, conservative types. But, man, in Washington State, people would quote the number of the law. They'd say, oh, well, that's against RA code 1.62.1. And I'd be like, man, y'all are speaking a foreign language. I'm not into all that statist stuff.
Define status.
Tell me in English.
You've used that word twice now.
Use words.
You said status twice now.
People should already know, but since we've got new listeners today, okay, statist. I define it as a person who believes in the concept of a collective structure where top-down edicts are enforced through violence on the average person, a person who did not consent or agree to follow those edicts.
Yeah. And another way of saying it is, you know, a sexist is a person who thinks their sex is the best. A racist thinks their race is the best. And a statist thinks their state is the best. And we're not talking about states like Kentucky, Wyoming, California, Washington. We're talking about the state being the concept of the government. Well, it's different than the government slightly. They're used interchangeably. And in most countries in the world, when you say the state, they mean the national government of that country, not individual provinces, which is what it means in America. But
like the Syrian state or the Israeli state,
yeah,
things like that. The Islamic state of the Levant and Iraq. That kind
statists
of
are people who kick God off the throne and put the state on the throne and make it the highest thing. They put the government higher than God, or if they're atheists, they still worship the state, which we call statheists, because it's ironic that someone who doesn't believe in a God would make the state their God.
Because they still hold faith in it, and that's the real sad thing, is they place their faith in something that, if you really looked at history, or really looked at morality, or even philosophy, you would realize there is no faith to be had from using top-down hierarchies to control humans through violence. Whenever you use violence to achieve your ends, you get the opposite of what you had wanted. And there's dozens of instances of, well, I'll put it this way. There's going to be lots of unintended consequences, and it's going to go wrong and awry. And if you look at all the horrible things in the world today, I would trace them back to the violence of the state, the vast majority of them.
Well, what's that definition, that socio-political definition of the state that even Obama came out of the closet and used? It is that a state is – what is a government?
The monopoly of force or violence in a particular geographic area. So Obama was – he was describing why he wanted there to be more enlisted people doing these military jobs in the Middle East rather than contractors. And he says, well, when you have contractors, you know, you're not really adhering to the theory of the state being the monopoly of violence in a given area. He was basically saying that they were ceding too much market share to people like Blackwater or Z or whatever they're called now rather than taking all the violence for themselves.
They want all the violence to themselves.
They want all the violence to themselves, yeah.
Yeah, and they're really
Now, some people say that – some people who are pro-state say, well, that's a really good thing, and they'll defend the fact that there should be one institution that has a monopoly on the use of force, because then it will push out smaller actors or smaller violent people that would use violence. But here's the thing. Who's killed way more people than anybody ever? It's always
governments.
States or governments. Yeah. It's, you know, you can stack up the piles of skulls that the state throughout history has created and then compare it to the worst serial killer you could imagine. I would say even every horrible serial killer on their own, you know, as not a state actor. You know, I'm not talking about Pol Pot. I'm talking about people like Charlie Manson. And it would be a tiny speck. It would be a parts per million kind of thing for the body piles of the regular serial killers versus the state serial killers.
Yeah, and murder's not good. We don't like it.
No.
I'm laughing because it's true. It's we got to say that. Murder ain't good. Murder's not good at all. Self-defense can be good, and that's been a big topic this week, and we're going to get into that. It's been a topic on the Liberty webs, on the libertarian interwebs, on the Facebooks, on radio shows other than The Fiends. And some people say that there should be more talk about it, about this question of, is it ethical to shoot a government employee if they aggress on you? And I don't even like that question or that conversation. It's all just theoretical. It's like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. But the very question, I think, could get you caged or get your guns taken away. And I try to avoid it, but some people have been saying, no, we need to have this person on and that person on and debate it. And here's what I think. Okay. There's this guy named, Christopher Cantwell, who wrote an essay about this and got kicked out of the Free State Project, which is something up in New Hampshire. And, people are saying we need to talk about this more, and Free Talk Live, it's a show I love, has been talking about it for like a week straight, and you know, their hosts are disagreeing. They're saying, yeah, you don't shoot cops, and we agree, it's not a good thing, man, don't shoot cops. And I must say that the level of free speech in America has gone up, not down, if people can even have these conversations without. I mean, right. There's a lot of times in American history, and, you know, in the 60s, they would have thrown you in a cage for even asking that on the radio, but, or on the internets, which didn't exist then. But it's kind of become like Free Talk Live and all these other forums and things and places people talk have kind of become like the violence channel, like all violence all the time. And we don't want to talk about all violence all the time, man. Violence is violent, you know?
Yeah.
Was that deep or stupid?
Just,
I don't know.
That was deep. It's just sad that there's so much violence in the world that it has to be talked about. And it's also sad that it has to be such a question. I mean, isn't it intuitive that
self-defense
aggression is wrong?
Self-defense,
I mean,
yeah.
And self-defense is right. And also, isn't it intuitive that it should be of a level proportionate and the threat should be immediate or imminent that you're trying to stop with self-defense? I mean, this is all stuff that's so common that it's natural. I think it's instinctual in human beings. And I think it's fine to have the discussion, but I think it's sad that so many people just don't get it, and that they'll want to keep pushing and say, well, violence is right now because I want it. And it's just them throwing fits and being kindergarten babies because they want bloodshed now, and they have some kind of sick bloodlust, and I don't know where that comes from.
It's also kind of like, this is not a new question. I mean, Boston Tea Party brought it up, you know, 15 years ago. Claire Wolf brought it up 20 years ago. It's not new, and I guess there's all these newly minted libertarians every day, which is a great thing, but they're suddenly asking questions about morality that people have been asking forever. I kind of feel like
and that people have been answering too.
Yeah.
You know?
I kind of feel like the whole Chris Cantwell flap is kind of like he's kind of, somebody said he's become the Miley Cyrus of liberty, in that you know, people were talking about Miley Cyrus wiggling her navel on TV when they should have been talking about that the U.S. is about to bomb Syria without Congress and without against Congress and against the American people. Obama and former war protesting pacifist John Kerry want to go kill women and children and citizens to further their military industrial, what did we say the complex is? The military industrial police educational pharmaceutical voting complex aimed at destroying all liberty until 90% of the human race is wiped out and the remainder are living in boxes running on treadmills powering the batteries of the state. Yeah.
Or as I like to call it for the sake of brevity, just the
complex.
But we'll be back with more attacks against the complex after this trip to the opposite.
Philosophical attacks only on the fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Worms.
Yes, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati out here in Central Texas, the Hill Country, to be not very exact. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the Mountain West to also be similarly vague. How's it going, Michael?
It's going good. Someone said in the chat room that my voice today is very up close and personal, like a voice in his head. And I said, is that like a bad thing? And he said, no, it's just a bit intimidating and or personal. And I said, good. I don't want to be intimidating, but I want to be up in people's heads. I don't want to be background at all.
Yeah.
No, man. Huh.
That's why you spend all your blood, sweat, and tears getting on radio.
And getting the best possible sound equipment and knowledge and ability that we have.
Yeah. And speaking of radio, because we are welcoming new affiliates today, you wanted to explain a little bit about who we are. I guess we kind of had a bit of our philosophy in segment one, but you want to say, these are things we have in common with the normal AM Talk Radio folks, but there's some big differences too, isn't there?
Yeah, there are. And I mean, I could see how someone listening to us for the first time would be like, what are these people? They're railing about the state. Are they communists? No, we hate communism. We absolutely hate it. We hate socialism. We hate communism. You know, we're like free market libertarian types, which basically means we would like to, what is it they say? Government should be reduced to the point where it can be drowned in the bathtub. We want to reduce government to the point where it's so puny we can laugh at it and make fun of it and it drowns itself in the bathtub.
Yeah, or in a more friendly way, we just want to have no need for it or desire for it, and we want there to be so little of a market for government that people just won't even involve themselves in it. And exactly, the government will drown itself in a bathtub, or it will just cease to exist.
And it's not a scary thing to say we don't like government and we'd like to see immensely less of it, because government basically, as we've defined, is the geographic monotony of violence, the monotony of violence in a geographic region. And violence isn't good, man. Like, basically, that's saying it doesn't matter who you vote for, somebody's going to be picking on somebody. And we're defending the smallest minority, the individual.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that there should be no law. It also doesn't mean that there would be no roads or schools or any of the things that people do like. It just means that you take away, you add voluntariness to all of that. You add consent to it all, so that people aren't forced to pay for things that they don't want to pay for. If I want to drive on a road, I will pay the road owner, or I will look at the advertisements that the road owner got to fund his road, or whatever various schemes people can come up with. They can be as creative as they want. There are so many different models out there. I don't have the answers, but I do know what's not the answer, and the answer is not violence. It's simple kindergarten stuff, people. It's don't hit. Don't steal. just extend those kindergarten basic morality
the golden rule, man.
Universally. Yeah. Extend it to John Kerry. Extend it to George Bush. Say that they can't rob, hit, or steal, or bomb, or murder. And, you know, you'd solve so much.
Or spy. There's been a lot of spying going on lately. I feel violated,
Mike
man.
Mike Rozif on Lou Rockwell recently said that when you think about the way they spy and the way they hack, in a sense, it is theft of property. If you're jumping over an erected electronic wall or encryption, breaking into something that you've homesteaded in a Lockean sense.
That's what the government would charge you with if you did to them what they're doing to you. They would charge you with like theft of electronic network services or something. Among other things, they charge you with everything they could if you did what they did. Basically, they're doing what Edward Snowden did. You know, they're doing to everybody what Edward Snowden did to them. And he was paid to do it, sort of.
Well,
long story.
Well.
He wasn't paid to do that.
what he did that I think is a good thing is obviously he made all of this secret information open to people. But it's secret information that the government had no right to keep secret. The state doesn't have a right to do things. The government employees in their autonomous – in their – what am I trying to say here? when they're pursuing actions that are immoral, they don't have a right to continue to keep the fruits of that labor because they're ill-gotten gains.
Yeah.
And so him giving these secrets out to people was him liberating stuff that the government didn't have a right to keep secret. Whereas what the NSA does generally is they take something that you're trying to keep secret and they use it against you.
And Bloomberg would like – Bloomberg, the man and the website and magazine would like to have you believe that this kind of thought, libertarian thought, that it's the new communism. They did an article that said that. Nothing could be further from the truth, and we're going to explain why when we come back.
Yes, a very silly article. They should have read their books rather than watching the newsroom or whatever. I don't think they're smart enough to watch the newsroom. It was probably Honey Boo Boo. We'll be back from the market in just a bit.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll show you the difference between leadership and authority and how to eliminate the demand for authority while remaining peaceful and even calm. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Right, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. You may remember us from a documentary called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, or as somebody who I just recently showed it to said, drugs and weed or whatever. That's not it. But
that's not it.
And I corrected them because they got it right the first time, and I said, no. He said you're pro drug and pro gun documentary, and I said nah, that's not it.
We're not pro drug.
Freedom.
We don't take drugs.
We're not pro drug. It's pro freedom.
We're pro anyone's right to mess up their head however they want. It's not our problem, and it shouldn't be the government's problem.
Yes.
And,
well, you know, other people aren't our property, and so I have no right to tell other people how to dispose of as they wish
their brain
own
cells.
Property, which includes them.
Their brain cells. Yeah, and their endorphins. Yeah, it's like there's a meme going around that sums it up really well. It's a cop saying, drugs will ruin your life, so if I catch you doing drugs, I'll throw you in a cage and ruin your life. We were going to start off talking about how we're similar to a lot of right-wing talk show radio hosts and then talk about how we're different, but we just did say one way we're different than a lot of them. But let's talk about how we're the same. Nima Vedati, that's the other guy, and me, Michael W. Dean, we love guns. We walk around with guns. I moved to a state where I can walk around with a gun legally. Because I like guns so much. I love guns. I love shooting guns. I love the history of guns. I love the mechanics of guns. I love the right to have guns. And, man, we like guns. We really do. Guns. Yeah. Guns are good. You were going to say something about guns, maybe?
I do love guns. I do love to go out to the river like I used to and throw myself my own clay pigeons and have my headphones on listening to some awesome music or some great podcasts and shoot some birdshot at some clay pigeons, man. That's an enjoyable activity for me. And
you also like rifles, man. There's a scene at the beginning of the Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom movie where you shoot a dinner plate that we bought at Walmart for 99 nonsense. You shoot a, yeah, you know, 12 inch dinner plate at 380 yards using iron sights with a rifle. Iron, I thought that was pretty cool. And that was actually like the seventh.
On a Mosin Nagant.
That was like, yeah, the seventh time you went shooting or something. And that was, I'm a better teacher than I am a shooter, because I couldn't make that shot. It took me like 20 times. And I was chipping the edges of this, of it, but you just hit it square and just shattered it with iron sights. And, you know, that's not like super sniper shooting, but that's, a lot of people can't do that. A lot of people can't shoot a dinner plate in one shot at 380 yards with iron sights, with a, yeah, with a World War II gun that was used to kill Nazis. The actual gun, not the type of gun, that gun that you were holding was used to kill Nazis, which makes, yeah, it even cooler.
Beginner's luck, maybe, but either way, here's my thing on guns, and I think it helps to illuminate my thoughts on a lot of other things, is a lot of the gun grabbers, when some atrocity happens, which I'm not denying that atrocities happen, but sometimes one will, there'll be some kind of massacre or horrible event, and people will say, well, why does anybody need a gun that's semi-automatic? Why does anybody need more than 10 round magazines? And I just point out that guns aren't a need-based thing. Nothing in your life is necessarily a need-based thing. The market exists
as long as you pay for it and don't, exactly, and don't expect someone else to pay,
right,
for it.
Right. The market exists on people's desires. That's what the market is. It's a reflection of people's truest desires, because you are going to spend your money on things that you really want rather than things that you don't, or things that you need in a sense too. But it's not about who else decides what you need and you don't need. If you're paying your own way, you get whatever you want. And that's what it boils down to for me, man.
Yes, and 340 yards for our friends listening in Scandinavia, and I know we have a few at least who are in the chat room, that's 310.896 meters. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, what other ways can you think of that were like the normal AM talk radio conservative type folks?
We don't like Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah. Hate the guy. He's no good at all.
I don't like the word hate. I hate what he does. I would love to see him thrive as a private citizen. I would like to see him resign, dissolve the post of president, and not try to get it replaced with someone else, and just go off and take care of his family and pet his dog, B.O. I mean, Bo.
Okay, you're right. Good correction there. Yeah, I don't hate him as a human being or as a person. I hate what he's doing, what he's done. I think he is a sick person in that kind of a sense, and I wish him help. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we say hate the state, not the statist. You know, I think that
– that's like hate the sin, not the sinner.
Exactly. Exactly. And I guess I don't hate anybody in the world, but I will hate immoral actions and immorality.
We're full of love,
and I will,
man,
call them out.
We're like peace-loving guys who walk around with guns. If you want a picture of us, although we kind of don't look like that. Nima looks like
like, I don't, what?
Know, like some.
Don't say it. Don't say it. That's racist. I'm going to call that's racist before it even comes out of your mouth. That's pre-hate crime. Right,
I didn't say anything. And you'll, if I say you look like some young, angry Middle Easterner with a beard, you're going to say I look like an IRA member, and I don't want to go there. Because I got blonde hair and look kind of Irish and kind of him. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Any other similarities you can think of?
Yeah, a whole lot, man. We don't like the EPA, the IRS, the we love the FCC. We have to say that on radio. We just love the FCC, but we don't like the IRS, the CIA, the NSA, or any of those alphabet soup agencies. We think that they just basically exist to steal money and make people's lives harder. They say that they're there to make lives easier, but everything that they charge people for, they do themselves. They're guilty of. I mean, they, you know, like, yep, they charge you for conspiracy when they are a conspiracy. We don't. Oh, yep. Here's a difference we have from some right wing types. We're not really conspiracy theorists in that we don't really spend a lot of time talking about things with blurry pictures and red arrows on them. We can find enough things to talk about on what all these agencies put on their websites and admit they do. Although, you know, we don't doubt that they would do things that are horrible, because it's come out that they've done things that were horrible.
Well, hey, the Senate's resolution on Syria is a conspiracy to commit violent
crime.
There
you go.
By the truest definition of the word conspiracy. I would say the vast majority of words on paper in the federal code or on any Senate or House resolution or bill that gets passed are just that. They're explanations and plans on how to commit violence or aggression. And as such, the state itself, all of Washington, D.C., is one massive conspiracy that's out in the open. It's not a secret conspiracy. You can read this stuff in the news or see it on C-SPAN, but it is people getting together, deciding what to do with the money that they have stolen through taxation, and who to imprison and who to kill.
I agree.
Yep. So I guess that makes us different, though, doesn't that? Isn't that part of where we diverge from the average AM talk radio guy?
We hate Obama's policies and actions, but we don't feel much different about George Bush's. And if Romney had won, we'd be screeching about him, man. And it's we're not anti-American. If we lived in England, we'd be screeching about Parliament. I mean, it's basically – and we screech about Parliament anyway. And if we lived in England, we'd be screeching a little bit about America and conspiring to go bomb people over there. I can't believe how like hard they're trying to sell this, like that they need to go to Syria and bomb people.
Well, they're not doing very well. I think, as Justin Raimondo put it as the sub-headline in his recent article, Kerry and company are amateurs. The neocons were much better at making stuff up. And yeah. Kerry is. You watch the videos of him or you see him or you read what he says, and he's just throwing stuff at the wall and hoping something sticks. Like he's just talking out of his mouth as
fast as
he can.
He's lying, too. Putin pointed out that Kerry was lying because Kerry was asked – are Al Qaeda active in Syria? And he said, no, they're not. And they're not only active in Syria, this would be helping Syria if the U.S. goes over and bombs in Syria. Basically, I've heard it said, you know, there are people, I saw a picture of a guy.
You mean to be helping Al Qaeda?
Yeah.
I don't think it would help Syria.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Good correction.
Sure.
Yeah, it would be hurting Syria. Yeah, basically, who was it? The short little guy with the hot wife?
Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah, he said it really well. Comment. He said that if America goes over there, they're basically going to be becoming the Air Force for Al Qaeda. And then I saw a picture of Obama with his head in his hands looking sad and distraught. It was just some picture that was taken when he was resting, you know, from so much tyranny. He was just tuckered out and needed a nap in his blankie. But it said that horrible moment that depressing moment when you realize that your plan to bomb Syria is so bad, the only people you can get on your side are the people that flew planes into your buildings.
Wow. Yeah. Sad but true. And, you know, Pat Buchanan brought up a great point that this is Syria, I think, what they want, what a lot of people and a lot of lobbyists want is for Syria to be a dress rehearsal or a backdoor to further intervention in the region, possibly even with Iran. You know, CNN is reporting that some secret government official that they don't source or cite heard it from somewhere whose mom told them that their cousin told them that Iran is threatening the American embassy in Iraq, which just struck me as a ridiculous news article.
Oh,
CNN
just say
for this lie could only come up with four paragraphs. That's how light they had on this.
They'll just say it and hope people believe it. You know, it's you were just astonished at how quickly they're getting away with this compared to Bush. Like Bush had to make up a bunch of lies and or was told lies. He may have been told lies and believed them. There's a theory that Cheney orchestrated the whole thing, and Bush was like, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I still don't know where I land on the stupid or evil spectrum. I can't tell if they're stupid or if they're evil. Either way, the result is the same.
Either way, it's evil to be stupid and have that much power.
Ah, wonderful. Okay, I guess that answers it for
feisty
me.
Feisty libertarian bumper sticker number one.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I thought it was actually going to be a lot quicker. It's somewhat heartening that the American people aren't sold on this, and the poll numbers still show a big majority of people against any intervention in Syria. You know, even if it's for the wrong reasons, like some people think that it would help the Syrians, but they're like, I don't care about the Syrians, let them all die. So even if the motivations aren't right, hey, I'll take it. You know, as long as there's not another aggressive war that the U.S. state has to be dragged into. And you always say, don't say we. But here's the thing. We as average people will be affected by it. When the economy gets worse, and then the threat that there could be blowback from this. Those are things that we as non-government actors, as not part of the state, still have to contend with because of the actions that they undertake.
Yeah, as far as blowback, too. I mean, if you think about the fact that World War I was caused by – somebody walking up to Francis Ferdinand and shooting him with a 380. That caused World War One. Just think what the unintended consequences of bombing Syria could be.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess I'll leave that up to your imaginations for now, but we'll be back with plenty more Freedom Fiends. We'll try to fill in some gaps here a bit.
We'll talk about how we're different from the right-winger talk show hosts.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, not your dad's talk radio. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah. Hi, Nima.
Hello, Michael W. Dean, and hello to our audience. I am Nima Vidati out here in Texas. We've also got where are you at, Michael? Why don't you tell the people?
I'm in the FEMA camp, and the NSA is putting wires in my brain to erase it. Listen. That's actually when I put my electronic cigarette up to my microphone. It's a coil thing. It's not a sound thing. Like, I can't hear that sound in the room, but the coil being near the coil of the microphone does that. Let me do it again. Sounds like the NSA erasing my brain in the FEMA camps.
There you go.
No, man, I'm free.
Foley artist.
Oh, what artist? Foley, yeah.
Foley artist, yeah.
They don't need that anymore. They got sound libraries for that. So we're going to talk about how we're different from right-wingers.
Yeah.
We're talking about how we're the same. We like guns. We like being left alone. We don't like taxes. We don't like government doing things in our name that we don't co-sign. But right-wingers often say, and I don't want to collectivize them because that'd be collectivist, which is kind of a left-wing thing to do if I want to collectivize fully. But I don't want to...
What you're trying to say is that the concepts that they hold, we would categorize those as socialism as well. Just as much as some of them like to call Barack Obama a socialist, I think that Lindsey Graham or John McCain or George W. Bush or even Richard Nixon
especially were socialists. Richard Nixon, man.
Yeah.
Richard Nixon was almost communist in his approach to his enemies list. He invented the modern enemy list that all presidents have.
Yeah, yeah. But here's my definition of socialism. I just did a Google search, so I don't know if this is Merriam-Webster, but hey, it sounds about right. Socialism, a political and economic theory of social organization that advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole.
Yeah, and we don't like food stamps and welfare and being taxed to pay for people that don't work like right-wingers. But we also – you know, right-wingers will condemn that stuff, but then they'll also fight for farm subsidies and sometimes for bailouts, although not as much as politicians
and
like
for
the
militarized police stations.
Yeah, yeah. Ah. And we've said it before. If you back the war on drugs, but you're against the war on guns, you've got to disconnect, because those people with those giant militarized tanks with wheels that kick in the doors of the potheads down the street, those are the same people that are going to come take your guns. They are being trained to take your guns. The war on drugs is training. And even just for the idea that it's okay to kick in doors and take things that 51% of the people think shouldn't be there.
Well, here's the thing, right, is it's all about consistency, and I don't understand how you can say, well, yeah, it'd be ridiculous for the state to have control of the means of production, distribution, and exchange for computers or telephones or groceries. That would be ridiculous. It's just as ridiculous for any good.
Even pot.
Yes, any good or exchange, pot, security force, police work, investigation, defense, road building, anything you can think of is the same as any other good. And so it's all about consistency. If you see the problems of the socialist calculation problem that Ludwig von Mises pointed out in his book Socialism, you can see that it fails because there's no proper pricing scheme. Decisions are based on politics rather than supply and demand. And that's why the Soviet Union collapsed. So why would you want any institution that you subscribe to suffer from that same root problem that will cause a collapse?
It'll rot from the Soviet inside out. Union also collapsed, as Scott Horton pointed out, because we the U.S. finally let them have their own Vietnam, which was Afghanistan. Going into Afghanistan, which is a place that historically for thousands of years no invader has been able to win a war in, is what defeated the Soviet Union. They collapsed under the weight of trying to do that. And now you've got all these Everhawks like McCain and Obama being bipartisan in wanting to go in there and wanting to go in new places. And I really think that's Obama's goal. I was trying to figure out why he wants to go to war. I think it's to finally get the Republicans behind him on something. And, you know, we've said it before. The places that the left and the right are bipartisan on are the worst things. Man, when they agree on something, liberty is really in danger. And we'll be back with more in hour two of the Freedom Fiends.
Yes, we sure will. I agree completely, man. And I think Barack Obama, it's not just about getting the right behind him. I think he's scared. I think he's a cowardly little girl about these things. And he doesn't want the right to attack him on this. He wants to look like a big tough guy. He wants the strike backs to keep him from being ridiculed, as he said. And we'll be back, like you said, with more Freedom Fiends.
That was unfair to little girls.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Yo, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vedati out here in Round Rock, Texas, just north of Austin, but I do consider myself an Austinite. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there, smack dab in the middle of the Mountain West. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And speaking of undisclosed locations, you know, they're building this giant NSA supercomputer center in Utah, just south of me. I have a theory about that. I have a theory that the United States is finally going to get its act together, and they've joined a 12-step program, and they're going to do their steps, and they need all that computer, all those computer banks, so they'll have enough room for the text list they make when they make their list of persons they have harmed. Because they're a government. That's what governments do by definition is harm.
That is
people.
What they do by definition. Yeah, yeah. And another thing we were talking about, the difference between socialism. Well, the opposite of that, I believe, is libertarianism. Socialism, I guess I'll go ahead and read the definition again since it is hour two here. Should I do that?
Yeah, and we are libertarians. And libertarianism is actually a word that was created as the antonym to the word authoritarianism. So we're not quite anti-disestablishment – what's that word? I can't even say it. We're not
anti-disestablishmentarianism.
That. Yeah, we're not – in other words, we're not just punks who want to just hate anything that's authority.
Yeah, we're not nihilists like Bloomberg would call
us. It's not like we just had a bad potty training and we're taking it out on the world. No, we've really thought this stuff through and – well, you know, basically, we did believe what they told us in kindergarten, that you don't hit people. You don't push people down in the mud. And that's what governments do, is they hit people, they threaten them, they bully them into doing what the Borg wants them to do, which is usually not a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's socialism, not the definition. A political and economic theory of social organization that advocates the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole.
So I just had to say, because in case anybody was just tuning in and heard us defining socialism and thought we were in favor of it, we are not in favor of it.
That means busybodies. That means people who have no knowledge of who you are, what you desire, what you need, what you want. Get a say in what you get to have. It's unfairness to the extreme. And the only way it can be backed up is through force, aggression, or violence, because otherwise people just wouldn't listen. Why would they listen to the masses, the tyranny, the mob rule telling them what to do, unless the masses had an institution at their disposal that would force that upon you? Now, here is why. We've decided to call ourselves libertarians is a great definition that L. Neil Smith gave it. And I think this kind of sums up how I feel about the whole situation. He says, a libertarian is a person who believes that no one has the right under any circumstances to initiate force against another human being or to advocate or delegate its initiation, i.e. You can't have Congress or the state or the cops go bust down somebody's door because you don't like what they're lighting up. That's a digression. I'll get back to the actual definition. Those who act consistently with this principle are libertarians, whether they realize it or not. Those who fail to act consistently with it are not libertarians, regardless of what they may claim.
Well, great gun writer Boston Tea Party said it really well. He said that the problem isn't liberals. The problem is conservatives who aren't willing to become libertarians. When I picture governments, you know, George Orwell in 1984 said, if you want a vision of the future, picture a boot stomping on a human face forever. And I kind of – that's accurate. But I think if you want a vision of any state, I would picture a bunch of like PTA-type old lady biddies who just want to tell everyone what to do, surrounded by a bunch of like goons in body armor with battle rifles.
Right. You know, I just had a thought. That there might be people out there listening that are like, well, why would anybody join the Libertarian Party? You know, they get like 1% in every election.
Libertarian
or less.
Party?
Yeah. That's not a good what point. This is about. Yeah. This is not about politics.
If voting changed anything, it would be illegal.
Right. Yeah. Listen to the definition again. It has nothing to do with parties or political action. It just says people who think it's wrong to hurt other people for no reason or to impose your will on them are not libertarians. They're bad people. People who accept that other people get to own their own body, own their fruits of their own labor, and make their own decisions. Those are libertarians, man. So it's a philosophical distinction, not a political one.
Yeah, man. Parties are square.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing too. People want libertarianism, and here's how I can prove it. Every election for the past two presidential elections, all the Republicans before the election try to sound as much like Ron Paul as they can. And then once they're elected, they sound like Stalin, man.
Yeah, they sound like Joseph Stalin. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember that moment where Rick Perry is trying to list off the the government agencies he wants to abolish.
He had to,
he's
cheat,
like,
off,
counting
he
them.
Had to cheat off Ron Paul's paper.
He cheated off Ron Paul. Yeah, he looks at Ron Paul. He's like, what's the other one we want to abolish, Ron? Ron just says education.
And he said it as
a
joke.
A
it was a joke because he was basically saying that Perry wasn't very educated.
Perry is an example of what public schools will bring you.
Periodontal. Perimysium. Yeah.
There.
Perry just Farrell. Whatever happened to Perry Farrell? I haven't heard anything from that guy.
I don't know.
You
used to run in those circles, didn't you?
I didn't sell him drugs. What are you talking about?
I didn't say that. Yeah. Fifth Amendment, homie. Fifth Amendment.
Yeah. Eighth Amendment.
Which one's the eighth?
Cruel and unusual punishment. Meaning... If I conjecture that I may have been in a room with somebody who was a rock star 25 years ago who was taking drugs, that it doesn't mean I can be punished for it. Although I did say that to my friend, and my friend said, "Did he pull his gun out when he was doing the deal?" And I said, "No." And he said, "He did when I did the deal." I don't know what we're talking about, man. We're just making this up.
I don't either. You got to get off of that one right there.
I don't do
so
drugs.
The NSA
I've been sober for 19 years. The NSA can spy on me, man. And it's not. I'm not saying I got nothing to hide. It's more like I'm bugging my own phone right now over the radio.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Anything about Michael, you'll know because he'll say it with his own mouth into a microphone.
Yeah. So here's what I want to know. Now that we're talking about socialism, basically, there's a saying that all political power comes from the barrel of a gun, which is very true, and it is often put out by libertarians and conservatives as a put down of people who want to use the government to get their will, you know, their nanny bitty PTA, you know, somewhere between anything between raising property taxes to buy more iPads for inner city kids so they can look at the internet when they really just they should just look at the internet and don't need schools anymore. Anything from that to bombing Syria, you know. They use the political power at the barrel of a gun. Now, the interesting thing is that quote comes from evil warlord communist Mao Zedong. In 1938, at the 6th plenary session of the 6th Central Committee of the Party. Man, communists, like, they have to just, like, overname everything because they're so centrally planned.
You know who else does that?
Who?
The U.S. federal government.
Yeah. Yep. He said in a speech called Problems of Strategy in the Guerrilla War Against Japan. But a lot of people don't know the full quote, which is, he said, every communist must grasp the truth. Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. And people have turned that into a curse, the second part of that into a curse. Like, yeah, man, you just want to use political power. You just want to have guns pointed at people, which we use it as a curse. But the thing is, Mao was saying it is a good thing. That's how evil he was. He was saying, my students, you must learn the truth that we need guns to make the world do our bidding and redistribute their wealth.
Yeah. Not even as a good thing, just as a truth, which it is true. But he was accepting it and saying, we need political power, so let's realize that the way to do that is through violence.
I think that quote should be stamped on the barrel of every AK-47 because Russia Russia grasped – the Soviet Union grasped that in such a way that they basically stamped out AK-47s by the millions and sent literally boatloads of them to any country that was even remotely socialist, you know, to give them political power against the U.S.
Yeah. So why don't you explain to people how we have explained that political power grows out of the barrel of a gun? You know, and some people call this macho libertarian flash, but it's the concept that that everything you're forced to do by the state has the implicit threat of a gun behind it. Everything from stopping at the stop sign at the end of your street to filing your taxes on April 15th. I do always file them late. or whatever it is.
I file them New Year's Eve. That's like how much of a party monster I am. I'm usually New Year's Eve at midnight. I'm usually starting on my taxes. And
that's like the worst thing I could imagine to do on New Year's Eve.
Well, you know, I mean, for most people, the best thing they could be doing is being in Times Square dancing in the street. But they're forgetting about the fact that the New York City Police Department has snipers on the rooftops of Times Square. So basically, you're dancing with the barrel of a gun pointed at your head when you're celebrating state style in New York City, in Bloomberg's America. Yeah.
That doesn't sound
like,
fun to me.
It's
either.
Like, it's like, yeah. Dance, slaves, dance. You know, like in the cowboy movies where they'd shoot the six shooter around the guy's feet and make him dance. That's what Bloomberg's right. making you do when you dance at New York. Right. So I'd rather be right. in my windowless bunker surrounded by my peacefully owned guns, doing my taxes at the barrel of a figurative gun that will become a literal gun if I don't do them, than out partying in the street with a sniper pointing a 30 cal rifle at my head. Yeah. Now here's the thing that we're getting at is any libertarian.
Well, yeah, elaborate on it because I've talked to people about this who are self-described socialists, like people who go to the university and are in the foreign the state affairs or the political science department, and they'll say things like. Nobody's ever pointed a gun at me when I'm doing my taxes.
Yeah, and my taxes that the gun is pointed at my head pay for that college for them to go learn how to be a better socialist, which is really disgusting to me. So basically, here's the thing. If you talk to any newly minted libertarian, and this has even kind of bled over into right wing when they're running for office. Once they get into office, they're full on Stalin pointing the guns at everybody. But when they're running for office, they try to sound libertarian, and they will use this thing that libertarians often say, which is... Yeah, every law, every tax is backed by a gun. And then somebody says, what's that mean? And the newly minted libertarian will say, we'll rattle this off almost word for word as if it's scripture. And but they don't know where it came from. And what I want to know is where this came from exactly. Who first said this? And it's basically, if you don't pay your taxes, they'll come to your house. If you tell them to go away, they'll come back with men with guns. If you tell them to go away, they'll kick in your door and they'll put a gun to your head. And that's the little thing they all say. And we're going to talk about that more when we come back on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right, welcome back to Freedom Fiends, live talk radio show on the Genesis Communications Network. And welcome to our new affiliates in Kentucky and Illinois.
Yeah.
How you doing, Mr. Michael Dean?
I am good. I'm really feeling happy about talking on all these radio stations and getting our thoughts out there into the world. You know, this is kind of what I always want to do. It's what I was made to do. It's what I was born to do, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Because I always spent my life trying to talk to the world. I mean, even before the internet, when I was a kid, and I'm 49 now, when I was a kid, like, I would find, like, pen pal listings in the back of magazines and write to strangers, which probably was not good, but no, it was good. No bad ever came of it. And I've talked about how I threw a letter, I put a message in a bottle and threw it into the lake and got a reply and thought it was pretty cool. I've just always tried to reach outside my bedroom and tickle the world in special places, and that's what we're doing here on The Fiends.
Yep. But now you have something that you feel you really need to explain to the world, a philosophy of freedom, liberty, and non-aggression. Peace. You want to spread peace and goodwill throughout mankind.
Yeah.
And so everything's sort of lining up. It's coming up, Fiends, as we like to say.
Keep up the good worms, as we say here on The Fiends. Yeah. Everything's coming up, Fiends. And Dean, because I'm Michael W. Dean. And the ironic thing is that to talk about liberty, you have to talk about tyranny. And, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, we listen to this show sometimes, this 5-minute news thing called, Liberty News, and it's nothing but tyranny, but it's kind of the point. It's like, you got to point out the tyranny so people can see it to get to that they need liberty. Cause this is a war of the mind. It's not a war in the street. It's not going to be won with the barrel of a gun. It's going to be won with the mind. And the thing that every newly minted libertarian can quote as if it's the 11th commandment or the, you know, the negative one first amendment to the Constitution of Life is they will say, they will explain to anybody who says anything like, well, we need more laws because blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, we want to redistribute the wealth. And then you say, well, that means you want to point a gun to my head. And they say, no, it doesn't. People will just voluntarily do it. We'll educate them. And the people are like, no, I won't. You'd have to take it from me. So basically what they explain, and this is an absolute truth, all laws and all taxes are enforced at the barrel of a gun. And then the doubter says, what do you mean? I've never had a gun to my head. And they say, well, if you don't pay your property taxes or you don't pay your ticket when you get a ticket on the car, eventually they'll come to your house. And you say, go away, to the man they send to your house. And he will go away and he will come back with men who have guns, with police or government agents or federal agents. And if you tell them to go away, they may just kick in your door or they may go away and then come back with some warrants and some tanks and some Bearcats and some men with battle rifles. And they will sit outside your house until you come out. And if you don't come out, they will kick in your door, throw in a flashbang, knock you to the ground, maybe shoot you, maybe not, maybe shoot you with beanbags, maybe tase you, do something violent and put a gun to your head and handcuff you and kidnap you and throw you in a cage and take your property. And that's how all laws are enforced and all taxes are enforced. Now, that progression, some variation of that, not necessarily word for word, but bullet point for bullet point, is said by every newly minted libertarian when you ask them, you know, why don't you like the government? That's what they'll tell you. And it's all true. But what I want to know is where that came from. And people, I ask people and they say, oh, it's just logical. And I'm like, well, it's logical, but that telling of it is so similar from person to person. It's almost like statists who say, well, without the government, who would build the roads? It's like, I almost think that the roads question is taught in high schools now or grade schools because it's so ubiquitous. Now, I want to know why this great telling of how laws and taxes work is so ubiquitous. And I really want to know is who came up with it. Now, we have a couple hints. One is the great tyrant, the horrible tyrant, Mao, said that it's, you know, everyone needs to know, every communist needs to know that political power comes from the barrel of a gun. And he said it in 1939. Buckminster Fuller, who's a man I have a lot of respect for, who was not a tyrant. He was a scientist and a social thinker, not a socialist thinker, but a social. He was thinking of ways to plan society without using governments. And he kind of fell into like, well, maybe government should implement these things. But it was a long time ago, and he died in 83, and I actually met him in 76 when I was 12 in Chautauqua, New York, and it changed my life. Buckminster Fuller is best known for the guy who popularized the geodistic dome design, but he had a lot of other great thoughts, and he said, the end move in politics is always to pick up a gun. And that's kind of summarizing Mao's thing, but not in a good way, in saying that it's actually bad. But if anybody out there knows, send us an email or write to us on the forum or something in the chat room. Call us up on the phone, Ben Stone, and let us know who said that. Was it Mises? Was it Molyneux? Who said that? We want to know on The Fiends.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, a film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Welcome back to more Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vadadi out here in Tejas. We've also got Michael W. Dean in Wyo, the Cowboy State. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's good. And that song we were just listening to goes all the way back to 2010. Oh, that was Right Arm of Wyoming with Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector?
Yes.
The answer is no, I would not. And we wanted to get back to, since we had the discussion on, you know, that's how the state works, is the threat of a gun and the threat of a cage. We don't like that, and we don't think that that's a valid option. Now, there's this whole conversation going on with, I guess this guy, Chris Cantwell, wrote this article about, like, when's it okay to shoot a cop, kind of echoing something by Larkin Rose. And it's become such a discussion that it's become the Miley Cyrus of liberty. Basically, in that, you know, Miley Cyrus was kind of trumpeted by the mainstream media, I think, intentionally to get people's attention off of Syria and off of the NSA. And unintentionally, or maybe these people were put in place by governments to get dissent going and get people's attention, you know, like watch this hand, not the other hand, like the magician does. But I doubt it. But I will say this, whenever people write to the fiends over and over and over and try to hammer the same thing and don't get when we say, hey, no, you got it wrong or whatever, I just naturally assume those people are government agents trying to get us to do something or say something stupid they can use against us out of context.
There you go. Yeah, and we've said our piece on that, but here's something new that we can kind of achieve some synthesis for what we were talking about earlier in the show. Mao's thought that political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. If you're trying to create or push towards a society where there's no such thing as political power, where politics doesn't decide how capital is utilized, but instead private owners of capital get to decide how it's utilized, what they buy, what they make, what they sell, what they take, all that kind of stuff. The antithesis of the state. Well, you're not going to get it out of the barrel of a gun, because like Mao says, what grows out of the barrel of a gun is political power. Now, using guns actively as a way to achieve your ends, that's different than keeping them and loving them, like we said earlier in the show, as tools for defense or acquiring food or just fun things to play with. But when you're using them to achieve your ends, then you're going to end up with the same type of tyranny that you're trying to get rid of.
So basically, we've been accused by a bunch of people this week of not taking seriously enough the burning question on everyone's mind, which is basically, you know, if a cop violates your rights, is it ethical to shoot them? And it's like, I don't even want to have that discussion, because in an effectiveness thing, basically, you know, if a cop tries to arrest you unconstitutionally, illegally, roughs you up, plants evidence on you, etc., and you shoot him, you're going to go to prison or be killed, probably be killed. So that's not a very effective thing. So I don't even want to have that discussion. And the other discussion of, like, is it time for an American revolution? The time for an American revolution was right after the ink was dry on the Constitution, and they tried that with the Whiskey Rebellion, basically, and were killed by General George Washington. So, and since the heroes write the write history, since the victors write the history books, you know, he's painted as a great man when actually he aggressed on Americans who were protesting taxes that were higher than the taxes that the revolution was fought over. So, and there weren't even drones, and there weren't even assault weapons, and there weren't battle rifles really back then like there are now. There weren't drones, right. And there wasn't massive surveillance. So basically, the state has won the war of guns. So the only war that's going to work is the war of ideas. And basically that means educating as many people as possible of the fact that all laws and all government comes from the barrel of a gun. And that's not a good thing. And people should be in charge of their own destiny and their own liberty and their own voluntary associations. So it's a beautiful day here in Wyoming, and I'd rather be out hunting antelope and taking a boat down to Alcova and swimming around and doing fun stuff. But I'm sitting here talking on the radio because I care, because that's the only thing I can do is the war of ideas. And if you people want to polish your bayonets and rattle your sabers and have false, be useful idiots for the government in talking about why it might be time for violence, then you go and do that, and I will just disassociate myself from the whole conversation, right. Man, because my thing is based not only on the immorality of shooting people, but on the will it be effective. And here at the Fiends, we look at everything from two sides. One is it moral? And the other, if you can't get morality, basic kindergarten morality of it, you know, it's not okay to push people around and hit them, then the effectiveness of it. And the effectiveness of it, it ain't going to work, man. It ain't going to work shooting people. Don't do it.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. What wars are is they're fights between groups over who gets to have the monopoly of force. Because that's what a war is it's one group saying, you don't have the monopoly. We can have some force here, too. We can use violence here, too. And then they clash to see who's dominant in the area, in that geographic region, and who gets to have the monopoly of force. And I don't know of any libertarians in the true sense, in the L. Neil Smith non-aggression principle abiding sense, that want to have a monopoly of violence or force in North America or anywhere. What we want is the opposite of a monopoly. We want people to be able to opt out, to be left alone, to have their own ways of achieving their ends and their own ways of getting goods and services, sans the violence of the state. And so it's an opportunity cost thing too, how is your time going to be better spent? Is it going to be spent well by you trying to incite some type of violence? Not at all, because that's what the FBI wants you to do, right? That's half of their job, is to entrap people that may be anti-government and paint them as violent extremists who need to be locked up. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, you basically are the government,
if that's your tactic.
The government is becoming more and more extreme, spying on you, stealing from you, setting people up, throwing them in cages for things that have no victim. And then they're trying to add to that the crime of complaining that the government is acting tyrannical. They're basically trying to make that, you know, basically we're putting a gun at your head more than ever before, constantly. And then if you complain about it, we're going to say you're anti-government and should be locked up, when it's the most natural thing in the world to complain about it. We take it further. Basically, we think the answer is not pointing guns back at the government. We think the answer is laughing at them, man. I mean, I'll make the joke right now. Someone said it earlier. I like it. How does John McCain sleep at night? On a pile of government stolen money next to dead children. That's how John McCain sleeps at night. And so does Barack Obama, man.
Yes, make them the objects of ridicule instead of the objects of reverence. Stop worshiping the state and show other people that these folks, you know, people say, well, we have to respect the office. No, that's exactly what you need to not respect. The office is the problem, the concept that there's this position that's somehow outside of morality or above the law, and it gets to make the decisions no matter who's holding that position. That's exactly what we're attacking. And if it is war of ideas, which I firmly believe it is, then one of the worst tactics you can take is to try to make it about violence or guns or attacking, because what you're showing your hand as there is that we don't have ideas good enough to win on their own merit. You know, people say that about the state. That's the joke, right? The state idea is so great, we need to point guns at you to get you to believe them. And that's in essence what it is if you have an idea or a concept or a philosophy that's true and will work for humanity, you don't need to point guns at people to tell them to do it. They'll get it eventually. The human species will adopt it if it's truly the best way to go.
Yeah, and my feisty libertarian rant there, saying that how do John McCain and Barack Obama sleep at night on a pile of stolen money next to the hearts of dead children, that's absolutely true, man. And I don't even think of that as outrageous, but the people that we're talking about who are having this discussion, like, they're the people that write the fiends and say, oh, you're being too soft. I'm like, that's like the most extreme thing I've ever heard anyone say, and it just came out of my mouth. And they're still going to tell me, oh, you're not going far enough. And I'm like, dude, I've written 1,000 articles on how to start a podcast and turn it into a radio show. If you think you want to have all violence all the time, then start the violence podcast, man. Just don't go read my articles on how to do a podcast and start the all violence all the time channel and just don't bother me, man. Don't try to tell me what to do on my show. I built this. Barack Obama did not build this. I built this with NEMA.
Yep. Yeah. Show me an example, right? I mean, we're not being soft. We're being smart. Show me an example. Of a violent
spill
revolution.
Your drink there. You shouldn't drink and drive, man. You'll spill your ice cubes.
Yeah. There's alcohol abuse. No, I don't drink anymore. But show me an example in history where there's a revolution and then the people who win the revolution, the rebels or whatever have you, tell me when in history they've gotten the power, they've taken the reins of the state, they now control the violent monopoly, and then all of a sudden there's freedom. They say, well, we're not going to do this. We're not going to be imposing. We're not going to be tyrannical. We're just going to let everybody do their own thing. And we're going to ignore all these ridiculous laws and rules and regulations.
Yeah.
And we're just going to be happy and free and sing kumbaya. No.
The radicals always become the conservatives as soon as they get the power.
Because now they're in power.
Yeah.
And power corrupts absolutely. And look at John Kerry. You know, I don't know if I made this point, but I wanted to earlier. Is that explains perfectly, and it explains that. The fact that Kerry used to be
outspoken anti-war man in Vietnam,
yes.
But now that it's his war, he's like,
right.
This is better than Viagra. I want to keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This man who people used to think of as some peacenik, some guy that threw his war medals supposedly over a fence or into an ocean or whatever it was. You know, I don't know if he was ever.
He's now
peacenik.
A warnick.
But exactly. And if that is the true story, if he did believe in peace and was really being honest when he was advocating against the Vietnam War, now all of a sudden that he's Secretary of State, that he gets to move the troops around or help sell the war to Congress and to the American people.
Here's bloodthirsty. Here's another place we differ from the right wingers. They're all criticizing Kerry this week for being a warmonger, but those same right wingers were criticizing Kerry before for being a peacenik. What's wrong with being a peacenik, man? What's wrong with not wanting to steal a bunch of money from taxpayers at the point of a gun and drop it on children in another country that never did anything to America?
It's because some people know what side their bread is buttered on. There's a lot of, you know, war is not good for the economy. On net as a whole, it's horrible. It's like Orwell
said. That's a lie. That's a lie.
Taking a bunch of material that would be used to make the masses too happy. You know, all this surplus production that could be used to make people wealthy is just blown to bits. But it's good for the people who make the things that blow it to bits.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after we attend the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. Going all the way back to 1990, that's the band Bomb with the song Power of Suggestion, also known as Happy All the Time. That's me playing bass here on the Freedom Fiends. Back when I was a low-budget rock star, a panty-swimming drug consumer who treated women like playthings and drugs like candy, as someone said. And I don't have to do that anymore today. I'm happy.
Did the law catch up with you? What changed you?
I was smart. The law is catching up to me now, only in that things that are legal are about to become illegal, like having guns and having free speech. I got away with it all.
Well, you know, an unjust law is no law at all. And I think what that really points to is that institutions that are built on injustice, like the state, because it's in essence is a socialist institution, can never make laws that are just, because you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. You can't get justice out of an unjust institution. And that brings us to more discussion in our Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review.
Nice. Yeah. I like how you got off the mic there. You're having more mic control. Mic control in the house.
Now I'm mic controlling.
On the Freedom Fiends.
Worms to your Freedom mom's. Fiends. So, yeah, today's episode, it was kind of like Liberty 101, which sometimes we try to get away from, but sometimes we embrace fully, especially when we're welcoming new listeners. We've got new listeners out in Kentucky and Illinois. Welcome to the Freedom Fiends. We tried to talk a little bit about how we're somewhat similar to a lot of the normal AM sort of conservative talk show hosts in the idea that we do espouse personal responsibility, personal liberty, and think that the government interference causes problems.
But we're consistent. That's the difference.
Yes. We apply that to all government action, all state action, whether it's Republican or Democrat, whether it's in furtherance of things like the police state or in furtherance of things like the welfare state. The commonality between the welfare and warfare state is the word state, right? We don't accept socialism backed by coercion in any realm of human action, because the only good things are things that people agree to and consent to. Because if you're not agreeing or consenting to something that's being – and something's being imposed on you
– yeah, and that's – that doesn't mean it's okay if people agree to send a government to do something immoral. That's not voluntary, because it's hurting somebody. And you know, if voting changed anything, it'd be illegal. And there's just proof of that every day in that, you know, what is 220-some 30 years of voting gotten us? It's gotten, gridlock and higher taxes than ever and more spying than ever, and the government violating the Bill of Rights on a daily basis in everything they do, and both parties screaming at each other because they don't like being stolen from. Well, how about just stop stealing from everybody? That's our plan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what it's come down to is what Congress does is debate what to do with the stolen money. But we don't think that's a proper debate because once it's stolen, it's blood money at that point. There's nothing good you can do with it at that point because it's ill-gotten. And, you know, people try to make fun of this in the blog post from Bloomberg, not the mayor, but the publication where the op-ed guys are saying, hey, libertarianism is the new communism. In the comments, somebody was like, yeah, see, look at it this way. And they list all these problems like the economy and foreign policy and anemic job growth and this and that. And they say solution equals less government. See, it's a religion. They're trying to make the same argument we make about status, that libertarians' answer to everything is less government. And I will say this, that when you're talking about social problems, you can literally point to violence in an interaction or aggression in an interaction and say that that's the root of the problem. And that's not based on any faith. That's just obvious. You're pointing at the government keeping people from doing business. Because there are goons with guns that will come and take away their business or smash their guitars if you're a company like Gibson. And you can say, hey, that's a problem. Maybe that's why people aren't risking their finances getting into business, because the government will point guns at them. That's facts. Yeah. That's not faith. And we'll have more Freedom Fiends. Join us tomorrow as we continue our weekend show. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Nima Vedati, and you are?
Michael Dean.
Yeah.
Fiends.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.